And it's that time of the week again. Time for Talk at 6 with Wayne. I'm Wayne Turner, taking you through till 6:45 this evening. And another interesting program lined up. The way the show works, Mondays, every Monday of the month between 6 and 6:45, we have a different guest, some of our guest experts on regularly, other community slots, or just something interesting. And over the past 18 months, we've talked a lot about COVID. It seems like every show has got sort of an impact from COVID. Our lives have changed so dramatically. So for this show, I have a guest in studio, and sort of came by chance. And I had the idea of a show. I've had this idea for some time now around women who've had to stay home, moms, and they haven't been able to get back to work, or circumstances have changed. They've lost their jobs, where they've had to sit back and think, how do I supplement, support my wife, my partner's income? What can I do? And I've given it a bit of thought, and starting a business from home is very cliched. And people say, well, let's do your own thing. I don't want to work in corporate. I don't want to work in wherever I was. I'm going to do something. But getting from that point of idea and decision to actually having something that is generating an income is extremely difficult. We've had people on the show around internet marketing and other things on the internet where you can do it from home. And, you know, it's very nice in principle, but these things take time, effort, and the idea has to be good before you even start the hard work. So I have in studio with me, she's known as Sarah Jane on Instagram, Honey Jane.
Honey Jane.
In real life, she is Sarah Jane. And we connected through Instagram, and I found out what she was doing, and I thought it'd be really great to bring someone into studio and chat about a little success story. We're not talking about Microsoft or Apple here. We're talking about... that's a very confident statement. We're talking about getting something going, and of course, nothing breeds success like success. So it's a very good evening to you, Sarah Jane.
Thanks, Wayne.
Thank you for joining us on the show. We've already had a nice chat, and... there are a number of issues as well as hints and tips that we're going to chat around. But tell us a bit about your story, because your change and starting your own little business from home was COVID. Mm. The reason was COVID. Mm. I mean, all of us were impacted in lockdown. How did it start?
Yeah. Okay. So firstly, thanks for having me on the show.
It's a pleasure.
Thanks for reaching out. It's awesome. Okay. So I think actually Honey Jane was kind of a long time coming, in a sense. I'm a trained teacher, foundation phase, and majored in my fourth year in ECD, and taught for 8 years before having my own children.
Starting your own school.
Starting my own school. Yeah, there you go. I'll tell my husband that. That's another one.
Oh, he wants a big family.
No, I want the big family.
Yeah, well, no. The poor guy, I mean, he's got to think of feeding mouths,
doesn't
he?
Yeah, there you go, exactly. When James came along, we did eventually make the decision that I'd stay home. Then Daisy came along, a couple of years after, and then COVID hit, and it wasn't going to be anytime soon that I was going to go back to teaching. And I think just that hard lockdown, it was hectic. We all had to completely rearrange our lives and relook at our lives.
Well, society has something in common.
Yes,
now we have this
absolutely
common ground. All of us have been impacted
so
by just
true.
Some more, some less.
Yes, completely. And just with the crazy constant rise of living, I just kind of thought, well, how can I somehow add some financial help to our family? And
because it was all going fairly well before that. I mean, you're starting to cope, but
yes, but
COVID,
I mean,
just changed
totally,
the dynamics
totally. And already, I mean, even just before COVID, just the living just month to month is crazy, and then COVID hit, like you say. So just kind of thought, my teaching background, children, and loving to be creative, and then I've always wanted to start something like Honey Jane. And I thought, okay, let's just go for it. I remember being in my little girl's room and feeding her and thinking, okay, I'm going to just do it. Why not? It's Instagram. Don't have to pay rent. I can just put myself out there and see how it goes.
And if it works, it works. If it doesn't, exactly, no loss.
Exactly. And I then suddenly got really excited by the idea and thought...
Sorry, can I just interrupt there?
Yeah.
That phase of thinking about it, making a decision, and then get really excited. I mean, we've been, we've got our own little Instagram children's bookshop, but it gets to a stage, and then you start making sales.
Yes.
And that excitement.
Yeah. Breeds off the excitement kind of thing, and then it carries on. So I didn't actually start so much so with the books. I kind of started with a few little toys that my kids had kind of weren't really playing with, a few cute little knickknacks around the house, and just photographed that. And I remember my first sale was a set of six mini wooden Skittles, frog Skittles.
Wood sells well.
There it does. It does. Wood is fantastic.
People like that wooden feel.
Absolutely, completely. And that was fantastic. And then I think I just posted a bit more, and slowly but surely it got a bit more interest. And then kind of thought, okay, let's bring in some books. I've always, always, always loved books, and especially children's books, and obviously been in teaching. And
there's a beauty to them, isn't there?
Totally.
The illustrators, you open a few pages and you see these amazing illustrations. You're not even reading the story.
Completely.
But those illustrations are great.
Absolutely. And different authors and stuff like that. Then I started looking at my children's books and thinking, okay, well, we don't necessarily read this one, or we've got a duplicate copy of this one. Let's try put this one on. And amazing how other people also love books.
Yeah, we started, my wife's in the babysitting industry, and so she had lots of equipment and games and books.
Yes.
And I mean, like jumping castles. And we had to, because of COVID and not having regular employment, we started selling all these things off.
Yeah.
I can't imagine why I didn't use Instagram. We just did it by word of mouth and a bit of Facebook. But, you know, just getting impetus, getting something going is important. I mean, what would you say to somebody who's now thinking, man, I've got some extra things, what should I do? I mean, do you use Instagram for anything? I mean, you've got a bit of experience now.
Yeah, so I think that's the main thing. I think it's just using what you love, an interest of yours, and just, I think once you've made the decision to go for it, and then setting up the account and posting that first post and just literally, just deciding to go for it.
Because if it's not out there, you're not going to get sales.
Totally.
And take what you've got.
Completely. So that's how it started. And also in that hard lockdown, I couldn't go around to different thrift stores or whatnot and go look for, kind of stock.
We all looked for the non-essential stuff in our homes. What can we?
Absolutely.
I mean, we did big clear outs because now you've got the time to do it. And and I've got a shelf full of electronic gear that I want to sell now because I realized I don't need it. It wasn't shelves and boxes. Now you all of a sudden start getting necessity is the mother of invention. You need the money, so do something.
Completely. So going through children's toys, going through cute little knickknacks, or even looking in your cupboards and seeing that cute little teacup that you've got a duplicate of, or that you're okay to say goodbye to, or something like that. But then also just taking that idea and kind of making a bit more creative and having fun with that. So then kind of like grouping it all together with like educational toys, or then grouping it all together with princess storybooks.
Right.
Or then
so you create connection between, say, a storybook and a vintage item.
There you go. Exactly. Or a birthday coming up. And
so creative, there's no limit to creativity.
No, not at all. Yeah.
You know, what is that expression? One man's trash is another man's treasure.
Yeah,
and what might look sort of ridiculous to you, someone else will say, I'll be looking for that particular cup or that little candle,
exactly.
candle holder.
Exactly. Yeah, totally. And I think we as human beings are all created for connection and relationships. And it's just also seen that one thing. Oh my gosh, I grew up and my granny used to serve my biscuits on that plate.
All or that nostalgia.
Absolute nostalgia. And I think that plays a lot into Honey Jane and things that are happy, precious memories to me that I know other people can also relate to and also have their own happy, precious memories.
Mm.
And I'm bringing that onto my platform, whether it be a book or a teacup or an old bear or whatever, really.
You know, this might sound a little bit gross, but I'm a very sentimental person.
Yes.
My youngest daughter is turning 29.
Yes.
I have all her milk teeth in a bag. I don't know where I found it because she thought they'd been burnt in the fire. The kids used to say, must get rid of that.
Oh, gosh.
She was born with six fingers. And she had this little appendages. I mean, not really fingers. And they just tied them off and they dropped off. I had one of these, a little bottle. And she's so glad when it was burnt. But I mean, my point is nostalgia. Maybe I take it a bit to the extreme. But it's that nostalgia. And we're talking about a little business now. If you can tap into someone's nostalgia. And for me, I mean, I'm in my 62nd year.
Yeah.
And Richard Scarry, I look at some of these books.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, I used to sit with my cousins and read that, Dr. Seuss and Roald Dahl, all these books. And there is that emotional connection. And that's just with books.
Totally.
So if someone is sitting there thinking as you did, I've got to make ends meet.
Yeah.
I'm going to look around. Tapping into potential nostalgia is going to help sales.
Totally. Yeah. And I think you do have to have a love for it. So whether it's that...
I mean, you can't start selling tools
if you're not
a DIY. If you all of a sudden decided you want to do, you're not a DIY person.
No,
you're sort of stepping out of your comfort zone. So you need to keep it within your boundaries of what you feel comfortable. Maybe you need to be stretched a little bit.
Yeah,
but I'm sure you had times when you were stretched.
Absolutely. So also with the books, just loving the different books and then broadening my knowledge about different authors and different illustrators and, this is the same author that wrote this book. And also, I mean, there's such a,
I had an Oliver Jeffers book for 30 Rand and my daughters came and said, because they were in the digital and design world, do you know who that is? I said, no. You can't sell it for less than 75 Rand.
Yeah, I thought, there you go.
Oh, my word. And as you get to know these, I mean, you told me a few authors beforehand.
Yeah.
And you pick these up. What is the new one I learned? Miles Kelly.
Yes.
And that's starting to sell now. And, it's getting to know your product.
Exactly.
Have you been forced or extended in that area, especially with books?
Totally. So, especially with books, So I didn't necessarily know, like Miles Kelly, like you said now, and how he is doing beautiful, different stories, actually a whole different on whether it's the human body or he even has horse and pony stories.
Yeah, my niece told me about him and the knowledge books. Then all of a sudden I saw fairy stories and Aesop's Fables.
Yes.
And I thought, he's into everything.
Yeah, completely.
I know we're digressing a little bit. But so as an online entrepreneur, is it important that you take your field of interest and you try to learn as much about it?
Mm. Yeah, definitely. I think, and then also you want to learn as much.
It is a passion.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it comes easier and it excites you and it energizes you. And and that's what's just been so wonderful through the platform of Instagram is finding that other like human connection on the other side of the screen and sharing different interests. So sharing a love for like this one author, Jill Murphy, a lovely client sent me a beautiful article that she wrote. And so something like that, just...
I watched the Julia Donaldson documentary on YouTube.
Yeah.
And she's like a granny. They go and they do stay. I mean, she's worth £85 million now. But her and her retired doctor husband go to these festivals and they do kids acting on stage. And I'm thinking, you know, it's you can see where the passion comes from. And I think some of that's communicated via the book or the product.
Yeah.
And that's what you pick up. And I think that, that connection. Because I noticed on your Instagram account, you connect with your buyers.
Yes.
People that make make comments and you have repeat customers.
Yeah,
so there's a you've got to just because you're not a Woolworths where customers I used to work for Woolworths, the customer service is huge and the customer's always right.
Yeah.
As the small little entrepreneur, do you find that you need to do the same sort of relationship building?
Yeah, no, absolutely. And like I said before, I think that's also why it works on this platform is that we're all looking for, and especially during COVID, that connection and connectivity. And it's also as you build your brand, the people that come onto your platform also have the same sort of mindset and kind of work with that and tap into that. And
they're looking for they've really got something in mind what they're looking for.
Yes.
I mean, when I saw your account, I thought, wow, this person's doing the same as me.
Yeah.
And I started looking and you pick up things and you learn about the you can't really call it an industry, but about the niche that you're working in. So I just need to make a disclaimer here.
Yeah.
This is not an advert. I haven't brought Sarah Jane onto the show to promote her business.
No.
But there's some principles that we've gained, and I really want to communicate that the, someone who's sitting listening in a similar situation might be dire circumstances that you're trying to do something.
Mm.
We want to encourage, inform, and just get you to a point that you feel a little bit more confident. And I think that's one of the things you have to learn as well, is to get confident.
Yeah.
And because, I mean, you have setbacks and you think, oh, is this going to work?
And I think that's the thing. You have to, it takes grit and it takes consistency.
Mm.
And you can get despondent and some, it can go well and then it can be really quiet and then it can go well and then it can be really quiet. But it's
almost... And you sort of think, is this working? Yes, it is. Is this working?
Yeah,
yes,
totally.
It is. You sort of have that pendulum swing.
And I think that's why it's just more than photographing and putting a book on or photographing and putting a teacup on. It's the whole, like you've mentioned before, the nostalgia before, the book that you remember your mum reading to your child. It's all tapping into that. And it's also, it can almost sound cliche, but it's like bringing joy to others and finding a common interest with others that you know that they can benefit from and that will enrich their lives.
Yeah, it's still your business. You still need to make money out of it.
Yes.
It is something that has to happen. But why not bring joy to others and you know, when I sell a book, that's really great. Now, something I don't want to sell, I want to read them myself. And
absolutely.
Then someone gets, I've been looking for this book. I remember it as a child. And I sit there and think, I did as well. And you have that sort of connection. In your situation, when you've now decided that you want to do this, and the nice thing about Instagram specifically, I haven't found, Facebook hasn't really worked for me, but Instagram, my niece sells so much on Facebook, different strokes for different folks. But the thing is, you know, you don't have to lay out, you can start something and not think, well, I had to lay out $250,000 and it hasn't worked.
No, the use time what you've got.
Once you started with your knickknacks, how long did it take before, okay, the COVID, of course, and you couldn't get to thrift shops.
Yeah.
But once you started selling stuff, how long did it take before you started getting an income that you could say to your hubby, we can do this, we can do that, because I've now got a supplementary income?
Yeah, I would say a few months, six months, yeah, give or take. And then it's just about being careful with that and obviously using that for what you need as a family. And then also it came to a point where I needed to think, I'm going to just set this aside to go back to the thrift shops to go see what I can find and then resell.
You've got to come up with a figure to say, well, I'm going to take 20, 30, 50% of what comes in. We're going to spend
absolutely.
And then I've got to take that money and go look for books, because especially in the book realm, you can't go to XYZ second-hand book dealers and order 10 of this and 10 of that. You've got to scrounge the shops, and you've got competition, of course. Yeah. Other people also looking
for. Wayne. Yeah.
I wondered why I didn't. I wondered why my favorite shops sometimes they had a lot. The next minute they'd have nothing, but someone else has come in.
Yeah. No, completely. So that's, and that's also, I think, that's something that Honey Jane can bring to the table, and like your business can bring to the table, is that we do that ground dirty work. We go to the different thrift shops and we kind of see, okay, yes, I know my clientele or my the brand that I'm trying to build, the feel that I'm trying to give off, would like this, that, and this. And then you can source that and find that and then come home. And then that's also when it doesn't end there. Then you got to come home, you got to clean the stock, you got to sort the stock, you got to photograph the stock.
Yeah.
Then you've got to post the stock, and
then wait.
And then wait.
Yeah, I mean, then, there's nothing like a feeling. You go to shop and there's nothing there. I mean, Honey Jane's just been taken everything. But you lift up an Enid Blyton book and there's three Beatrix Potters or a small Richard Scarry at the bottom.
Yeah.
You know, the fun of actually finding it.
Yeah. You know what that's called, hey? The thrill of the thrift.
Oh, the thrill of the thrift. Well, I take it. I'm now educated. But you talk about grit and consistency.
Definitely.
You've got to get out to the we talk about charity shops because we're talking
all
books
over.
And knickknacks. But someone who is trying to start something that's not using new products, you've got to get out there. And sometimes you go there and think, why did I go there? You come away with one item and you need 20 for your next sale, whatever it is. That determination must have been... not having that determination at the beginning must have been hard. You go look for something, you don't find anything, now you've got nothing to sell. Am I doing the right thing? That must have crossed your mind.
Oh, totally, absolutely. And then you go and you think, oh, okay, this will be fantastic. And you go ahead with the sale, the purchase of this, and you come back and you set it up and you photograph and you post and nothing. But I think that's just business. That's the way it happens.
You post a Richard Scarry book, everyone likes, or Dr. Seuss, and no one does anything.
Yeah, that also, and it's so confusing.
Do you work on specific times? I mean, I do with mine at 8 o'clock in the morning. I've got mine
up. That's brilliant.
Do you choose a specific time so customers know, or when my daughter is telling me, because she's a social media manager for a massive company, and they say on a Saturday night it's best to post there, or Wednesday afternoon you've got to find it. I just haven't found.
I must say, I do hear people talking about Instagram and this and the algorithm and whatnot, and I actually don't know what that really means. And also, as a mum and a wife, and I've got two young children.
You've got two little algorithms that tell you when to do what.
That's exactly it. That's the answer. And I don't, so no, I'm not very clued up on all that. And say it's been like a busy week at home and I haven't really posted much over 2 days, and then they say, oh, your algorithm's dropped, and oh, you're not going to get it. It's just too bad for me. I've just got to work past that. And
but what you're saying is that although business and people who spend a lot of money, I think, some would spend $100,000 on Instagram a month. That's what one of the figures I heard.
Oh, heck.
But you have to, like I said, be consistent and just do it. And not having all that knowledge hasn't prevented you from making a success in what you're doing.
Yeah, no, definitely not. I think it's... So again, you've got to be consistent. You have to be on at least every second day, if not every day. I remember speaking to someone and she was like, no, every day. And I was like, what? That just seems almost impossible. But it really does make a difference. And just to keep that engagement going.
Do you schedule your posts on Instagram?
No, I don't. What I do, I'm quite old school. So when my kids are napping or if my little boy is at play school and my little girl is busy pottering around the house, I can clean some stock. And then what I do is I photograph.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just keep it on my camera roll. And then perhaps that evening when I put them, when hubby and I put them to bed and we're just kind of chilling on the couch, I can just do a few posts.
Maybe I should share my secret.
What's your secret?
Well, I use a Facebook Business Suite app.
Okay, I know. You see, you're teaching me here.
And yeah. So what I do is, like, late at night, I will do 2 days worth of stuff. So it automatically will post to your Instagram and your Facebook. If you just tuned in, we're giving tips about starting business from home. I'm not a mom. I've done something, but we've got someone who it's really worked for. But so I just put in 10 or 20 items.
Yes.
It automatically puts a scheduled post. I say every morning, brilliant, 8 o'clock. So I'm not pressured in the morning.
Fantastic.
And it automatically happens. So if I'm sitting in the car or I'm doing something,
yes,
I take from my camera roll.
Yeah.
And I just I search online, find the text that for that particular book description, put the price, pop it in, and it sits in the scheduler there. And I can say, well, the 10, I'll do 5 tomorrow and 5 the next day.
Yeah.
So that's what's nice about Instagram. If you haven't explored Instagram, there is a lot of ease in using the account and actually making it work for you. So that's just a little.
And that's the key there, Wayne. I think it's just making it work for you.
Yeah,
because we're all different and different.
I'm supposed to be a pensioner, and so I do have extra time. But for moms, I mean, that's another aspect. Let's just talk about that.
Yes.
Timing for a mom with young kids, a young mom. Timing is everything in order to do something like this, because you've got to, in between feeds, sleeps, tantrums, or whatever,
totally.
You've got to try to fit the stuff in at home. And when you've got a husband who's now carrying the can,
yes,
he comes home,
totally.
You need to do some cooking as well, or, you know, everything is sort of on your shoulders.
Yeah.
So as a mom, allocating time is important.
Definitely allocating time, and also being cognizant of that, because I think it can be very easy to be just on your phone thinking, oh no, I'm just working on Honey Jane Instagram, and then getting caught
and
up
having
in this,
fun because it's your passion,
and totally,
and justifying why you should be
totally, but then also getting caught up and being like, oh gosh, okay, no, put it down, let's just,
I am actually a mother first.
Definitely, absolutely.
You know, people just do not realize the challenges that moms have to face.
Yeah, I know, for
and,
sure.
And those are the ones that don't have a full day job from for working for someone else.
Yeah.
You're doing everything at home. Yeah. They're major challenges. Mm. So allocating time and balancing your life now that you're at home, this is more advice for people who are thinking about this. You need to make very clear boundaries.
Totally. But I think also with those boundaries, just backtracking a bit, is that's why it's so important to do something that you're passionate about, because even though it is hectic and it does take grit and consistency, it's something that as a mum I do also need that outlet for me, and it does fulfill that, and it fulfills
so the creative
that,
element,
oh, totally.
Your creativity, you're able to express it through your
absolutely.
Photos
and I think I'm a very relational, nostalgic person, and finding treasures like that and finding books that remind me of my own childhood, and I know that will bring joy to others, is really just energizes me. And I think...
Are you an extrovert person?
Yeah, you know, I was... It's a very good question. I was having this discussion the other day. I think I'm a bit of both. I think
so
definitely
you'd be an extroverted introvert.
There you go.
Someone used that.
Yeah.
You're an introvert, but you need to have your times of extroversion.
Totally.
And doing your passion.
Completely. And I think as mums, it's very important just to be able to remember ourselves in that. And like, I've got friends who, you know, feel the need to and want to go back almost straight after Bubba. And that's fantastic. Do that. If that's what
you're
helps
able
you
to do,
if that's what you're able to do, and if that's what helps you to be a better mum at the end of the day, fantastic. Do that. And then you have someone like me who really wanted to be at home with my children, but still needed to find a way to bring in some sort of finances to
supplementary
help
income to the household,
but also to fulfill my passion and what energizes me to be a better mum and a better wife.
Why you went to do teaching in the first place.
Absolutely.
So that passion, that motivation is now being expressed through a little educational business.
Yes, completely. And
do you need me time, mom time, or is your doing your passion part of that process?
I think I still definitely need me time, but it's so wonderful that, yes, my passion is part of that process, because perhaps on a Saturday morning I've got a very wonderful hubby who will say, okay, you go do your thrifting, go get a coffee by yourself. I'll look after the kids.
And you can enjoy your own company.
And I can enjoy my own company.
I can't do
so
that.
So I think that's where the introvert comes in. And a bit of quiet. And then also whilst I'm thrifting, I kind of do different things in my mind. So I say, oh, okay, I can group those together. Or I can group that together. Or Christmas coming up. I can.
So your ideal place is a thrift shop with a coffee shop.
There you go. Thrift shop with a takeaway coffee.
Right. So you can walk around.
In my own world, just looking through books and getting excited. And like you said earlier, finding that long lost, forgotten book at the bottom of a dirty shelf and like eyeing it and seeing it and picking it up and, oh, exciting.
What would your advice be to a mom or a woman who is in a job 8 to 5 outside the house and is desperate to do what you're talking about, because they're not passionate about debtors collection, or they're not passionate. Yeah. They've got hobbies that they do. At what point, or how should that person sort of sit down and evaluate and start moving forward to move out of that thing? Because some people might not have a husband who can carry the can.
Sure, it's a very difficult question.
We ask difficult questions on the show. Or start with passion must be the driving factor.
Totally. And also I think just also what fills your cup. I don't think it is selfish to sit down and just think, okay, you know what? I really love to read and to be able to make more time to just sit down quietly with a book or to go for a coffee or a run or a walk. But it's so hard. There's so many factors. I mean, COVID has just anxiety and...
Everyone seems to be in the fight or flight.
Totally.
And situation it's where they
survival mode.
Yeah.
And it's just so hard to like just come back down and think, okay, because I mean, as mums, you know, you totally put yourself last. You don't think about yourself.
Because you don't want to get into a situation where you're not doing your passion and you're working for someone else and you're getting a salary to now not getting a salary and doing something that you're not passionate about because you thought it'd be a good idea to work from home. You need, I think that underscoring, underlying thing is whatever you do, you need to be excited by what you do and passionate.
Absolutely, but I also think it's very difficult to get that balance right. And I think, unfortunately, just because of day and age, there are many people that, you know, are doing what they're doing because we have to, at the end of the day, put food on the table and make it month to month. So I think it's a difficult one to sit down,
We have a very astute finance guy who comes on once a month. And one, as we're talking now, just made me remember something. He said... do something parallel that can grow.
Yes.
So someone could be doing like you're doing, have a passion for books, but they're not sitting at home doing it. They might have to allocate a few evenings or time on a weekend to do something. And with a scheduler, they can schedule all the posts. They can take their time and then schedule it out.
Yeah.
So would you say if you were in teaching and you got the idea – and there was no COVID around and you still wanted to move forward, doing something parallel with what you know now.
Yes, yeah, that's brilliant actually. And that would be a wonderful idea.
Would you see it as a possibility in your situation, what you know now, and if you were a teacher?
Yes, I think so.
Maybe difficult with two small kids.
That would be a lot on your plate. But I think to somehow take your passion and make it work for you, you definitely could. And with all, like you say, the Instagram, you could pre-upload. And you've got people that can help you and you can educate yourself about that and see how it works. And
It's nothing like... educating yourself and your passion. You just want to read more and you make the time.
Yeah.
I mean, I know.
Hard to make the time though.
At midnight when I'm doing scheduling or taking photographs and putting a white background, I lie there tired, but I'm still energized by what I'm doing.
Yes.
So anyone who is thinking about it, you need to be energized by what you're doing. If you're not energized, don't do it, because it'll be the same as work for someone else.
And I think that's also, it's just so wonderful how secondhand and pre-loved has definitely become more mainstream. And I think
on Instagram, you just type in pre-loved or thrift.
Yeah,
and
it's fantastic.
Everyone's selling something.
Yeah, totally. And it's brilliant. And I just love that COVID, especially in these times that we're living in, and also just with the environment and just reuse, reduce and recycle, or upcycle, and just learning to be very creative with what we have, and not, and also just in such a consumer-driven society and digital society, it's been wonderful to...
Because someone will, sorry to interrupt.
No.
Who's looking for a candlestick, a candle holder, needs to go out to Mr. Price Home and buy one. All of a sudden they see something that looks like what my granny or my mom had.
Exactly. Yeah.
You'd be far quicker to do something like that. So the whole thrift world is just has taken off.
Yeah.
And allowed people to now, it's basically upcycling or recycling.
Completely.
Totally. Okay, we've got about 3 minutes left.
You're right, it did go fast.
Yeah, it does go fast. Eh? How easy is it to do the practical thing, set up an Instagram account? It's not rocket science.
No, it's extremely easy. I am very technologically challenged and I did it. You can do it. you just Google it.
I mean, everything
you can
is
do
there.
It. Absolutely.
So it's basically
is there.
Start an account, put a description. I know in people
write
who sell,
down your password
yeah, you say comment to sell it, and EFT, once you've paid for it, it's yours.
Yes, yeah.
And
so
just
that's
put the little
very important
in the profile
to kind of just address your clientele and what you want from them, and just set the instructions kind of at the top there.
So that they know what to do. Yeah, I had someone saying, how do I do this? Do I DM you? I said, just read at the top. It says sold. So you get in first, because if you put sold down,
yes,
then of course it is sold. And just use common sense.
Completely.
And of course YouTube videos.
YouTube videos. Yeah. Google.
Absolutely. Now, as you said, your what do you call your account, your handle is
Honey Jane
on
underscore Jane.
Yeah, so go have a look at that account, how she set it up and what she sells. It'll just give you some motivation. I mean, I was inspired by it, and through me, my niece who sells a lot of books is inspired by it. And you can just get some tips. And if you're really struggling, drop a message there, and I'm sure Sarah Jane will answer it. I do it with mine. You know, it's one of those. I'm an extrovert. I'm passionate about it, and it's always nice to help somebody. You know, there's plenty to go around in this world. I've learned. You know,
completely.
So
more than enough space for all of us.
That's been absolutely amazing, being able to get
Thanks,
some of these
Wayne.
Tips. And I think out of this, that a stay-at-home mom, or a mom who has to stay at home, who might be unemployed, there are things that you can do.
Hey?
Firstly, find out what your passion is.
Absolutely.
What switches you on?
Yeah, energizes you.
Absolutely. The word energize, And try to find something that's going to be minimal time.
Mm.
I mean, as I found, what books and thrifting does take time.
It does take time, yes. But it's good. Yeah, energizes.
So, yeah. Well, I hope that through this show you've picked up some tips and tricks. You can always drop me a message on Facebook. Just look for Wayne Turner, or on Instagram. You can contact me through a message with Jabalani Africa with a K, and I'll try answer. If I don't have the answers, I'll get hold of someone as well. But
Brilliant.
It's been a pleasure and a privilege having you in
Thanks
studio.
For
I'm
the
so glad
I
met you through Instagram.
Thanks for reaching out.
Fortunately, you're a bubbly person who's got so much information to share, and some interviews can be like pulling
teeth.
I've
learned so much from you.
Absolutely. So, from us on Talk at Six with Wayne. Till next week, it's goodbye. God bless. See you then.